Welcome back to another episode of Cohen's Corner. Great time to be a Met fan. I've never been so ecstatic about a team, especially since we've started recording. It's been close to almost 2 years now. We've been doing this podcast, maybe like a little over a year and a half. And it's just, obviously we love the Mets. We're so invested, but just the way they've been playing lately, that win against the Dodgers last night, the catch by Nimmo, it doesn't get any better than that. With DeGrom dealing, it was unbelievable. So, I mean, it's just a great time, like I said, to be a Mets fan. Glad to be recording. Glad to be back. Elizabeth, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about that fantastic game against the Dodgers yesterday. I feel like that's a game I'd want to like rewatch immediately. There's some times where there's a Mets game that happens and you're just like kind of glad that they win, but it was stressful and you're kind of just like glad it's over. And you're like, okay, I never want to relive that, but thank goodness they won it. The game last night was a game I would actively rewatch just because, not only because of what the Mets delivered on the field, but because of just the overall stadium environment. It had so many different elements. I mean, you know, it was 2-1. That's the thing, is like, I feel like in the first few games against the Dodgers this year, they've really been close games for the most part. I mean, the Mets won one game, 9-5, I think, and then, or like 9-4. And then pretty much every other game against the Dodgers has been close. So like, you know, so far they've split the season series, and you don't win any points for like losing close games, obviously, but I really feel like these two teams can go toe to toe. And like, I'm not just saying that because I believe in the Mets. Like, I actually think the two teams are, you know, the Dodgers obviously have a better record and are probably the better team overall. But I feel like when the Mets and Dodgers are playing each other, you know, the Mets are not looking overmatched. They're not being blown out by the Dodgers by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like their pitching can really keep them in line. So that was kind of one of my more subtle takeaways from the game yesterday, was just the fact that they've really played up to the competition this year in general. And I feel like we got another example of that underneath all of the excitement about, you know, Nimmo's catch and DeGrom being great again, and the trumpets, obviously, which we can get into, which was very exciting. So yeah, let's dive into all of our favorite elements from that fantastic game yesterday. It really had the makings of an instant Mets classic, you know, like I said, one that I hope SNY will be reshowing again and again in the future. One of us was lucky enough to actually be at the game. It was not me. So Jake, I want you to tell me about, like, maybe if there were a couple of highlight moments. I mean, obviously there were highlight moments throughout the game, but what was kind of your perspective? First of all, where were you sitting? And then what was kind of your perspective of what was happening from there at the game yesterday?
So I think maybe I said earlier this season, but so me and my dad have the 20 game plan, the Saturday package. But with that, you get some weekday games if there's like a good team coming to town. So last night was part of our package. And yeah, we sit in 105. Like, if you ever look, if there's ever like a guy on first base and there's a right hand pitcher, they always show this section. There's like a black wall in right field, like right before the right field corner. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. We literally sit right in front of that, like right there. It's cool too, like especially when Diaz comes in, you know, like we're right there when he's running in. So that's always awesome whenever he pitches. But yeah, it was unreal. I mean, everything from the beginning with DeGrom coming out. And now it just seems like it's a thing that we do now as Mets fans. Whenever he comes out for his warm up, everyone just kind of gives him a standing ovation and no one sits down.
I love that.
It's so cool.
They did that at his first start.
Yeah,
and I was like, people should just give him a standing ovation.
I mean, because honestly, we don't know how many more times we're going to see him. It sucks, but how many more times we're going to see him pitch in a Mets uniform? Like, we hope he's here long term, but you don't want to take it for granted. But no, it was an amazing playoff like atmosphere. From DeGrom to then Marte hitting his home run, and I mean, even you appreciate going there and Mookie Betts, who's one of the best players of this generation, I think, to even see him hit a home run off DeGrom. Like, yeah, it sucks, but it's cool now to look back that we won the game, but
it's still a wow player. Moment.
Yeah. Like him versus DeGrom, two of the best in the game. And he kind of got the better of him there, but DeGrom got the better of him a couple other at bats. And I think after the game, Betts even called DeGrom the best he's ever faced and maybe the best to ever pitch. I mean, we all know how great Jake is, but no, it was just amazing. But the highlight of the night, obviously, is Brandon Nimmo's catch. Like, that was just incredible. I've never seen something with my own eyes in person. Like, obviously on TV, I'm sure I've seen better catches and there've been better catches, but in person, I've never seen something like that. Like, it was, I can't even explain it. It took me like two innings until Diaz came out. I was finally able to stop. I was literally like, we were all jumping up and down, shaking. Like, it was, I can't even explain it. And then Nimmo got a standing ovation coming off the field. I don't know if they showed it on TV, like at the end of the inning, when the inning ended, they gave him a whole standing ovation. He almost had like a curtain call. It was sick. And then the next inning, he came up to bat and he got another standing ovation. From that to go to Timmy Trumpets coming out and playing for Diaz, I'm glad that didn't like jinx anything. You know, that's why I was worried, that he was going to come out and play and Diaz was going to have one outing.
It would be too much fanfare. Yeah. I was like, if he blows the save after, not to be like a negative Nancy, but I was like, if he like blows the save after this, it will be so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as he struck out Trey Turner on three pitches to start the inning, I'm like, we're good. As long as that was a good sign.
He's so unreal. Then I felt good. And that was such a stress-free inning. Like, it wasn't even like anything really happened. So it was just, it was an amazing atmosphere. And I love, after a big win at Citi Field and you're going out the stairwell and the Let's Go Mets chants, you can't even hear yourself think, you know, it's so loud. And it was the closest thing to a playoff game that I've experienced in the regular season.
It's pretty amazing to have, you know, a sellout crowd on Wednesday, but then you add in all the factors like you were talking about, because I think the stadium was basically, I think almost 100% sold
pretty
out.
Much pretty
but
close to sold out.
I mean, I feel like I've been looking at the attendance for like some of DeGrom's starts this year, and I think he's had four home starts so far. And I think like all of them have been, I don't know if the first one was a sellout, but like pretty much all of them have been sellout crowds, which I think is really remarkable. I mean, two of them were on Saturdays, so that makes sense too. It's pretty incredible how like he really sells tickets, and not only DeGrom, but like the whole Mets team too. You put in any other pitcher on this Wednesday game and I don't know what the difference is of like how many thousands of tickets, but I feel like, especially like what you were saying with his future with the Mets uncertain, which is a fact, even though I feel good about him coming back, but his future's still uncertain. Mets fans are really like showing up for him this year, and they showed it in his first game, which I was lucky enough to attend, his first home start. And I feel like it's pretty incredible. I don't think there's been a Mets fan or a Mets player in my lifetime that like single-handedly can like sell out a stadium, but I feel like his presence like really can do that. But on top of it, it wasn't just DeGrom, it was the fact that the Mets were playing the Dodgers in their last meeting of the year, and it's a big series. I mean, this series basically means nothing to the Dodgers other than like preparing for the playoffs, because, you know, let's face it, they're like 20 games up in the NL West now. Their magic number to clinch the division is like 12 or something crazy, and it's like September just started. So it was interesting reading after the game. They are kind of like gathering intel and really respecting the Mets as a hopeful potential like playoff opponent.
Which
so
they should.
This game was valuable to them in that respect. And it was also just another reminder too of Jacob DeGrom can shut down any lineup with any player at any time. He doesn't always have a scoreless outing. So he doesn't always give up only one run. We saw that against the Braves. I think he gave up like three runs in 6 2/3. But there is no lineup that I don't feel good about him pitching against. And it's pretty incredible when you look at the Dodgers lineup. You look at their run differential, which is one of the best in baseball history through this point in the season. He allowed, what, three hits, one walk over seven innings. And yeah, the Dodgers have been like shut out a couple times this year, but it's pretty incredible. And the respect that they gave him post game too, about, and you know, Mookie Betts calling him one of the best to ever do it. I mean, Mookie Betts is like a classy player. So he's on the opposing team, but like I respect him a lot. And so
I love watching Mookie Betts play. I mean, and most of the time we didn't have to worry about him because he was with the Red Sox. And I mean, ever since he's went to the Dodgers, we haven't been good. So we honestly haven't had to worry about him anyway.
Right.
I mean, even now that we're going toe to toe with them, I mean, it's, you got to still love watching great players play. And Mookie Betts is definitely in that class of great players.
Yeah, but it just reminded me like how important, and everyone's been saying it all year, like how important healthy DeGrom is to the Mets. And you don't fully realize it until you see him effortlessly mowing down the best lineup in baseball. And like, that's what people are talking about when they say like, he's the key to everything. Even a great Scherzer start, it's still, I feel like, has to battle more than DeGrom usually does, even on like his really good starts. And it's just not the same as feeling like you're going into the game and it's an automatic excellent start. And like, that's how I feel when DeGrom pitches. You're basically almost guaranteed excellence every time. And again, sometimes the amount of runs he gives up varies, but there's no other more comforting feeling than him.
Pretty much, no. If you score more than three runs, unless the bullpen collapses, you're gonna win the game, or you're gonna be in it at the end.
If he can go seven and give up, fewer than three runs, it's like an extremely good chance of a win. And that's how
every time he has a quality start, like it's literally pretty much every start he has a quality start, which is, it's unreal. Like I, it's just he's a machine. Like there's no other way to put it. Like they used to call Albert Pujols the machine. This guy is the
he's the
machine.
Pitching machine.
Oh my
Exactly.
God. It's just and his the way he can just replicate his mechanics over and over and over again and just pinpoint that slider, that 94 mile an hour slider, just down and away, anywhere he wants it. Fastball pitching up to guys, down to guys. I mean, it's just it's like clockwork. It's just crazy. Like I don't even know how to explain it. We've been watching it for years and I still can't I can't explain it. It's just
Well, it's because it's his repertoire has gotten sharper over his career, but it's also changed a little. I mean, he used
a
to
lot.
throw his changeup a lot more. If you look at like his earlier starts, especially like his rookie season, that was kind of his number one
Yeah, and two seam fastballs.
breaking
He didn't
ball.
throw a lot of four seam fastballs. Like he was a two seam guy with you like you said, the changeup and like some sink on it. And he didn't attack at the top of the zone. Now he's all four seam fastballs, top of the zone. That slider is just insane. And the way he's been able to just increase his velocity since he came into the league, it's nobody's ever been able to do it like him. It's just it's crazy.
And that's the funny thing is like he almost has like, I mean he can throw more pitches, but he almost has like a really a closer's repertoire in a starter. I feel like this seeing I think now it's been three different starts where DeGrom has started and Diaz has gotten the save. I mean like what a privilege that is to watch. I mean think about like that incredible and think about as an opposing team too. If you know basically 8 out of the 9 innings could be covered by DeGrom and Diaz, or 9 out of 9 if DeGrom like. If DeGrom goes more than 7 and Diaz goes more than one inning, that's pretty intimidating for an opposing team. But like, what a privilege that is to watch this year. And, you know, we've gotten to see it in other seasons. I mean, Diaz got saves in 2019 when he won the Cy Young. He's saved
I like
plenty of
this though.
DeGrom star. But you're right. Having this version of both of them in the same game. I mean, that's what I like. If I'm watching a DeGrom star and like there's a Diaz save at the end. I mean, what an incredible like bookend. And you're right. That's basically like, 8 out of the 9 innings of that game are could feature 102 mile an hour fastballs and 93 mile an hour sliders. That's a lot. That's a tall order for an opposing team. And that's the factor when people have been talking about, you know, healthy DeGrom, like the Mets will go nowhere without a healthy DeGrom, which they did really well without him in the first half. But not only having DeGrom, but also having basically the closer version of DeGrom at the end of the game, too, is really incredible.
It's the
to
same
watch.
Deal, right? 100, 101, 102 mile an hour fastball and a wipeout slider that's thrown
right
92, 93. You're right. It is. It's almost like you're facing the ground again.
Their pitches look different. Like they don't, you wouldn't mistake one for the other.
No,
just because
not at all.
Diaz's slider has like a little, it looks like a little bit different than DeGrom's does. And also DeGrom often throws his slider like harder even than Diaz does. But yeah, what a privilege to have like both of them in the same pitching for the same team in the same game. At the top of their game. I
it's
mean,
awesome. And then to have Scherzer as your two, I mean,
it's also let's not forget like having Adam Ottavino having a great season.
He's been really good.
Pitching a 1-2-3 eighth. I mean, and especially that slider to strikeout Betts, which yeah. He looked completely, I mean, we saw Mookie Betts. He hit home run off DeGrom earlier in the
play.
Game. And then that pitch was like way out of zone. It like, it started in and then went like way away. Mm-hmm. And he like completely flailed at it, which is not, I mean, you hardly ever see him take those kinds of swings, at least in my view. So that was also having him as like, basically has turned into the Mets main eighth inning guy. Not to be outdone by DeGrom and Diaz, but that's also this,
been
this
really
year's
good.
Version.
Like a 2.05 ERA. I mean, how could I tweeted this yesterday, but I don't know. How could you ever expect going into the season anything more than you've gotten out of Adam Ottavino?
Oh,
like,
I did not expect this.
No, like, I think we were thinking like high 3, maybe 4 ERA, like because that's what he's been the last 3 years. I mean, he used to be a shutdown reliever with the Rockies and then his first year with the Yankees. And I mean, last year he was okay with Boston. I think he had an ERA close to 4. So, I mean, he wasn't great. But this year he's just kind of found his old self. And yeah, there have been times where he's come in with guys on base and they've scored. That's happened a lot, I feel like, which doesn't reflect in his ERA. Yeah, I mean,
but when
he's
he
been
started
awesome.
An inning, his starting,
oh, of course,
he's
yeah, when
been
he comes
really
in clean,
good.
Oh
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome. He just he struggled. He, I mean, it's hard to come in with guys on base. I understand, but he's struggled with that. I mean,
yeah,
no, he's been great, and especially with the rest of their performance from the bullpen, obviously, has been shaky this year. It's been great to have him, and he's been a big piece for this team for sure.
It almost reminds me, and you're a much bigger hockey fan than I am, so correct me if I'm like using the wrong terminology, but it almost reminds me, this is going to sound dumb. So don't hockey teams have like, they have like first line, second line. I feel like the Mets have like that for the bullpen, where like their first line bullpen is like Diaz, Ottavino, Lugo. Everyone else is like definitely not the first line, if
No.
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
Like,
I get it.
there's like that bullpen, and then there's like everyone else. And so I feel
There's
like
Joely Rodriguez
there's
coming
the
in to
Joely
piece the heart of
Rodriguez,
the
Michael
order the other
Givens,
night. Oy,
Michael.
oy.
Exactly. And then so I feel like when the Mets get a chance to use like DeGrom and like their first line bullpen, like that's the formula.
It is. And that's
If
why, like, that's why you go get
that is the
Scherzer, like,
formula.
too. Because in a,
Exactly.
especially in, we're hoping not to be in the wild card series. I mean, but once you get to the division series, that's still best of five, right? So, I mean, to have DeGrom and Scherzer in two of
Three of
those
those.
three, yeah, most likely three. And even honestly, both of them could probably appear in at least two of the games, you know what I'm saying? In relief or whatever you want to do. But to have them starting most, if it goes five games, three of those games, I mean, that's just. That's such a huge advantage. I mean, hopefully it doesn't even get to the fifth game, but that's just.
We'll cross that bridge, but
But that's what
I'm,
we're getting towards. I mean,
yeah.
that's what we got to start thinking about because it's what? It's a month away now, basically. And we're obviously going to make the playoffs. The question now is if we can hold off the Braves, which I'm hopeful that we can, but it's going to happen. Like, we're making the playoffs. It's not like it's not realistic. That's what's going to happen. So I feel like we got to start getting our minds ready for that and thinking about what's going to happen come October.
Oh yeah, I mean, in terms of like, you know, the factors that are affecting the Mets the next couple of weeks, I mean, basically, if you look at how you know, their record is they have the second best record in the NL. And in terms of like clinching playoff spot, forget the division, which I think is it's going to be close for a while. It's probably going to be close the entire month. So kind of leaving that out for the moment, really what needs to happen is the Brewers are currently in the number seven spot in the National League. I think they're a game and a half out, but or a game and a half behind the Padres now. So I believe a combination, usually when magic numbers are a combination of like your team winning and then like the team
Just
right
out of the
below
playoff
just
picture.
out of the playoff spot or just out of the spot that you're looking at losing.
Yeah.
And
Yep.
so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I know the Mets play the Brewers later in the month, so who knows? That could also they could have a chance to kind of directly improve their chances there. But I'm going to be watching the Braves obviously, but I'm also going to be watching like the Padres and Brewers just to kind of keeping an eye on like how they're doing. The Brewers have not been great recently. So, there's a good chance that you know, over the next couple of weeks, like, yes, obviously the division is very important. And like, that's going to be, that would be like the crowning jewel if Mets can hold on to that, which would be fantastic. But let's not underestimate clinching the playoff spot too, which would also be worth celebrating, at least for me, because there's been what, nine playoff appearances in Mets history over like 60 years. I would be thrilled whenever that day comes. So I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on how they're doing over the next couple of weeks. They've definitely, they're still not far out of the playoffs, but both they and the Padres have kind of slumped recently. So those are the two teams in like the sixth and seventh spot. I mean, at this point, I feel like Phillies are definitely making it. Kudos to them.
I don't know. They've been playing like crap against the Diamondbacks
They,
lately.
yeah, but I'm not sure who's going to overtake them though. I mean, unless the Padres overtake them for the second, I guess we'll just have to
Yeah,
see. I
they're a
mean,
half game up on the Padres.
they're only a half game up. Oh, I didn't
Yeah,
know
and
this.
they're the next. The Milwaukee's 2.5 behind San Diego, so Philly is three
Okay.
games up on Milwaukee. So it's still close.
It is still close. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on all
But
those
I would like
teams.
if Philly stays in that second spot because then they would play Atlanta. And that would be cool to watch
Were
them
they really?
beat up on
Oh.
each other. Yeah, because the as of now, the Cardinals would get the Padres, and then the Phillies and the Braves would play in Atlanta for the wild card series.
Good gracious. That would be something.
That's what
But
I think that's what we want as Mets fans, like to have them beat up on each other, you know?
I guess. Well, that's also good news for the Mets too, is that the Phillies and Braves play each other, I think, seven times in September. So basically, any outcome of that game is good for the Mets. I mean, better if the Phillies win. But
Yeah.
even if the Braves win a bunch of those games, it still keeps the Mets ahead of the Phillies. Those are the kind of games where you almost hope for a split. Just, I mean, at this point,
At this
depending on,
point, we want the
you'd hope
Braves
the
to lose.
Phillies, you'd want the
Yeah.
Braves to lose. But those are the kind of games I almost look forward to as a Mets fan because I know that like the outcome is a team that it matters to the Mets losing.
Yeah.
And like it would you prefer it to be the Braves, but the Phillies losing those games also is relevant to the Mets playoff chances.
For
So
sure.
either way, those will definitely be some games to watch. But just briefly going back to the game yesterday, I also you talked about Nimmo's catch, which I actually haven't really talked that much about because I was so busy talking about Jacob deGrom, which is very typical as everyone knows. But I mean, how could you not? He's been amazing so far. To see not only Nimmo make the most clutch catch he's ever made. He's robbed home runs before. I remember he did this
Not
last
like
year.
that.
Not like, but there was like a, I think a Stroman start where he like robbed a home run to lead off the game, which was great. Like that was cool. But that was the most clutch. That was one of the most clutch catches.
Save the game.
I've ever seen, really.
Yeah,
And that spot, it absolutely preserved their lead. It was funny, too.
With DeGrom on the mound, Justin Turner,
with DeGrom
hitting it.
And Justin Turner, I did not forget, I believe, got the first hit of the game as well against DeGrom. And it's crazy. Okay, just briefly going back. DeGrom, I feel like, has started every game with like 4 no-hit innings, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Every start, you feel like it could be the one. And yeah. He also had a really low pitch count, too. So I was like, there's probably, he's not going to no-hit the Dodgers, but like, what it, and
yeah.
Obviously, it didn't happen. Hopefully it happens at some point, but you really feel like every start has, if he gets through the first inning without allowing a hit, you're like, I don't know, this could be the day. Just not only the catch from Nimmo, which was phenomenal, and it was interesting, it was funny watching it back. You really heard a very loud thud as he like crashed into the wall. It was very audible on the broadcast.
And I think the emotion he showed, because he doesn't really show emotion like that. Like, yeah, he's happy all the time, whatever. Like, he doesn't show that pumped up emotion often. And to see him react so quickly after he made that catch, I feel like that just raised the atmosphere at the stadium even more. You know, like if he had caught it and just like thrown it back in, like everyone would have been pumped. Like, yeah, but how pumped he was, and DeGrom with his hands in the air. And
you never see DeGrom just, that animated.
No.
I mean, that was
when do you see DeGrom really smile in, like in the middle of
in
his
the
start?
Game?
It really
never.
Doesn't happen. Like he's a
literally
robot.
Never.
He doesn't have any emotion ever unless he's pissed off. So, I mean, to see him smile and kind of, I mean, that's really saved his bacon. I mean, think about it.
He basically gave up a home run
game.
There. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Which he knew off the bat.
I mean, and like Nimmo said, they don't really get to help Jake often because usually he's striking everybody out. So to be able to help him and preserve the win for him. And I mean, it was a one run game and it ended as a one run game that saved the game. So
that
I mean,
was
it couldn't have been a more clutch. I mean, I guess if it was in the ninth or something, but just against the Dodgers in it with an atmosphere like that to make a play like that, considering how far Brandon Nimmo's come, like, do Mets fans realize how bad he was in center field?
Every
like,
year.
He was so bad. And remember, Mets fans were clamoring for the Mets to trade for Starling Marte when he was with Pittsburgh, then when he was with Arizona, then when Miami was going to trade him because Nimmo couldn't play center field. And then we get Marte. He's playing right. Nimmo's playing a great center field. It's amazing how much hard work he's put in, and it's really paying off for sure.
And it's so rewarding, too, to watch him. Yes, he was not very good and great in center. I personally have always... I've always believed in his defense, like probably more than the average person, but to see him improve every single year of his career is so rewarding as a Mets fan. And to see, you're right, he used to be involved in all these like trade rumors every offseason, which I'd be hoping he wasn't going to get traded because I've always liked him. And to see him make these incredible improvements. And I saw a stat earlier on Twitter that he's actually like tied for the NL lead in like outs above average this year, which is kind of one of that and like defensive run saved are two kind of defensive stats that people often look at when judging the quality of someone's defense. And he's legitimately been excellent. It's not even up for debate. He's actually, I mean, he's not perhaps as smooth as other amazing center fielders.
Michael Harris.
If he like beats him out for a gold glove, I'll be mad. But
he might with that arm.
He's excellent. And that's true. Nimmo has no arm. That,
love
that
Nimmo,
is,
but his arm is a noodle. It's literally a piece
true.
Of linguine just hanging.
That has not improved. But what has improved is his ability to actually get to the ball, which has been like wonderful to watch. And you saw even in his like post-game interview. And I feel like the last year or two, especially this year, but like even also last year, he's been, I feel like, a lot more showing more. I mean, it's hard to say like leadership qualities because I don't really know what his role in like the locker room is. But at this point, he's one of the longest tenured Mets. I'd have to think that he's someone that his teammates, especially his younger ones, like look up to a lot just because he's been with the team since 2016, I think. So just to see him kind of develop into more of a leader and just a more, yeah, visibly emotional on the field after good things happen is really like it's awesome to see that because you've seen him. I mean, the Mets drafted him in 2011, and to see him here, it's like he's been with the team for 11 years. And I mean, I really hope he stays after the season because I feel like you can see the emotion from him about like appreciating Mets fans. And even after the game yesterday, he seemed to take a few moments while he was talking to Steve Gelbs to like take in the atmosphere. And he's always very gracious towards the fans, always acknowledges them and how important they are. Yeah, I've seen like a rise in his like persona of leadership.
He does,
but also
he does
just
everything the right way.
Shown.
Like, he just like, yeah, he may not be a super vocal leader, but he definitely leads by example, like just with the way he hustles all the time. And how he's always saying the right things, you know, like you never hear a bad thing about Brandon Nimmo. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always working hard. I mean, that shows with his center field play. But I mean, I think if they resign him, and I think they will, Scott Boras had to have been salivating when he saw that catch last night with the money that he's going to get. But if they could re-sign him, though, I could see them naming him as captain of the team. I mean, him or Alonso, if they decide to name a captain. But I mean, if Nimmo was going to sign long term, I mean, what better player would you want to be setting that example for your young players than Nimmo? I mean, he does everything the right way.
And I would have not necessarily thought that even going into like this year, just because I feel like the impression we've always had of him is kind of like very happy-go-lucky. I've never really seen him as like that until this year, but I feel like he's really stepped into that role. It's been wonderful to watch because he's been one of my favorite players, especially since like 2018 when he had a fantastic season amidst DeGrom's Cy Young season. I mean, those two were kind of the main reasons to watch the Mets that year, in my opinion. He's gotten better. It's so rewarding, like I was saying, as a fan, to really see someone get better every year. And I feel like he's worked so hard to get better at defense. He's like said that multiple times. The Mets have been threatening to replace him in center field for years, and it hasn't happened because he's like gotten better to the point where he's no longer, forget, not a liability. He's plus out there. I mean, he's an advantage.
Like he's gonna get signed as a center fielder this offseason. There's
Exactly.
no doubt about it.
He
He's gonna
could
get
play
center fielder
for
money.
people who were saying like 2 years ago that he's a fourth outfielder. I mean, those people are obviously quiet now because it's just not true. But it's just been fantastic to see him have the spotlight yesterday in the middle of the craziness. And also too, I remember this kind of reminded me this and his go-ahead home run in Miami like a few weeks ago where he like went crazy in the dugout and like Canna was like yelling at him. They would like share that fantastic
They were
hug.
making fun of he yelled, "Hell yeah." And they were like,
Exactly. And I was like,
"Cheers."
oh, I know. I was so surprised. And he like doubled down on it too post game because I was like, I thought I misheard him. And I didn't mishear him. But I was kind of wondering if we'd get a hell yeah out of him in the outfield, which it didn't look like he said that. Maybe in the dugout afterwards. That was just such a wonderful moment for him to have. And really, like he said, contribute so directly to a fantastic game. Let's not forget to, before we wrap up, I also want to make sure we call out the fantastic trumpets that we heard at the end of the
Oh, it
game,
was awesome.
which you heard live. And I have to say, okay, I was definitely skeptical going in. Like I was kind of a little over the Timmy trumpet situation. Until I actually that moment actually happened, I still felt like it was a little bit gimmicky because I'm like, what if he like blows the save? Like that
That's
would
what I
be
was worried
so
about. That this
embarrassing.
isn't the one
That would be
time
so
he just doesn't do
embarrassing.
well, and it's people. Mets, I would feel so bad for Timmy Trumpet because he wouldn't be allowed
He
back at
flew
Citi
from
Field.
Australia. He doesn't even live in this country. He was like going to Singapore on tour after
But
this.
now I think they got to bring, like, imagine like game one of the playoffs and they have him. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be amazing. But that was just such a fun moment.
It
And
was
like
so cool.
SNY has really, their production value this year has been absolutely phenomenal. And just to see how they captured that moment with like this guy, Timmy Trumpet, like I've never heard of him before this year. Yeah, he's just it becomes such an intertwined figure, I feel like, with the Mets this year, just because of how well Diaz has done. And then just seeing their interactions. I mean, he was also at the game Tuesday, which he didn't get to enter because the Mets lost the game. But the fact that that also happened in this fantastic baseball game and the Mets actually like won the game is incredible because that almost feels like a totally like there was enough material here for like two different games. But the fact that the live Timmy Trumpet performance was also in this like DeGrom start against the Dodgers in a one-run game and the fact that the Mets actually like won the game after that, I mean, a little part of me was like, oh no. I was like, if this is like the bad
That would have
This is
definitely
like
sucked.
the first blown save for Diaz in 3 months. Like it'll be a little embarrassing. Look, but
But
then
it all worked out. I mean,
he's one of his easiest. I mean, he's been
maybe it
good.
helped. I mean, it was like you were gonna say, it's one of his easiest outings of the
Was one of
year
his easiest innings of the
against
year.
the heart of the order of the best lineup in baseball.
Exactly. I mean, strikes out Trey Turner on three pitches, gets Freeman and Will Smith to ground out. You really couldn't have scripted like an easier inning for him
No.
after. And the fact that like he did that after all of the fanfare was incredible. And it just shows you that like maybe I feel just the fact that he's really turned this corner of we saw it in him closing out the no-hitter and closing out like the other amazing comebacks the Mets have made this year against the Phillies. And yeah, he looked as locked in as ever. And that to me was so remarkable. Because the thing is, not only was it the Timmy Trumpet performance in the moment, but they had also like met pregame, met yesterday, like been doing interviews together. It was like a whole thing.
Was
And then,
yeah.
so I mean, he was clearly focused on being about to pitch, but there's no way that he wasn't also like affected by the additional gravity
And
or
he
the
said,
additional
like, he normally
fanfare of the
doesn't look
moment.
up like into the stands, he just runs in. He said, but with Timmy Trumpet's playing, he wanted to like look around the crowd when he's running and see how into it they were. So, I mean, he obviously was taking it in too. It wasn't just an any normal outing for him.
And so by the end of that, I enjoyed it a little bit more in retrospect, knowing that Diaz actually got the save afterwards. But it's funny because I feel like the performance was like longer than the half inning too. By the time I like was settled in, it was over. So
Yeah.
that was the song actually lasted longer than the save that it preceded. Like I was saying at the beginning, this is a game I would rewatch
This
over and
game will
over.
be, I think, no matter what happens this season, obviously we're making the playoffs. This game is going to be remembered for a long, long time. I mean, it was that good of a game. And yes, it's still regular season, but with the team they're playing, who's on the mound, the plays that were made, Edwin Diaz, Timmy Trumpets, all the stuff you want to say with in the area last night. I mean, I took the train. So walking back to the Long Island Railroad, Serena had just won. All people from the US Open were out there going nuts. There was a band playing. It was a
Wow.
crazy, everything came together to just make it an amazing, crazy experience. And it was just, I don't think it could have been scripted any better.
I also really like tennis and I enjoy watching the US Open. And it's funny like watching the tennis when the announcers like mention the Mets because I don't know, for some reason they just tennis and baseball just seem in like two different sports worlds. But I was watching like Andy Murray's match earlier in the day and they were talking about because they were showing shots of Citi Field and the announcer in his like Australian accent was like talking about like the Mets playing the Dodgers this week, blah blah blah. They got like Jacob deGrom on the mound. It's like two worlds colliding. For some reason, I've always like found that amusing, but
Yeah, it's funny because on the train, like going there, it was so funny. Like the people all like with jerseys for the baseball game, and then all the people in their nice, some girls in
classy outfits
dresses
to
and
go see the
yeah,
US
going to
Open.
tennis. It was such like two different worlds.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
That is special that yeah, those two events are like so close to each other
Yeah.
and to have them both happening at the same time, I mean I feel bad for anyone living near there because it must have been like loud
Yeah,
or just chaotic.
it was awesome. Yeah, it was just amazing.
I guess before we head out, what would you say is like the most important key to the Mets doing well in September?
Beat the teams you got to beat. We're going to play at Atlanta at the end of the month. That's going to be a tough series. But I mean, well, we got seven coming up against Pittsburgh. You got to take at least five of those. We got Washington for what? We got three left with Washington in the month, but six left in the season. You got to take at least four of those. Miami, we go to Miami next weekend. We got to beat them. I mean, the only tough teams we're going to play the rest of the year, play Chicago at home too. They're bad. We go to on the road to play Milwaukee. We go on the road to play Atlanta. Those are the only tough teams after this Dodgers series. I mean, we play Oakland. We play a bunch of shitty teams that's for a lack of a better word, because they're just very shitty. But we got to beat up on them. I mean, that's what good teams do. They beat up on the bad teams. And the Mets have done that this year. So, I mean, if they do that, I don't see how the Braves catch them.
Yes, it will. I totally agree.
And
And
stay healthy. That's a
they've
big
shown, I
thing
mean, I
too.
think they've won every series against a sub 500 team this year, except for splitting a series with the Marlins. So they've shown that they're not going to fall into a trap so far. And so I feel like they have a really good chance of continuing to do that. I totally agree with you. It's right there for them. Let's see what happens. And I hope they can take the division. So with that, I think that will wrap it up for this week's episode of Cohen's Corner. As always, you can follow the podcast at Cohen's Corner Pod. You can follow me at NYMFan97 and Jake at Giblin_Jake. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, let's go Mets.